I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Kiffer.
And this is More The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast extra, where we deep dive into a very particular topic or conversation. But today, we are diving into some very specific pieces of technology. We haven't done it in a while, Max, but today we're going to talk about some peripherals, some bits of technology that were very kindly sent our way. Now, when these did arrive, and admittedly they did arrive sort of around the Christmas, New Year break, I had all these ambitions of doing these big videos, like I've scripted something, and I'm going to read most of that script in this conversation today. But I had these grand plans. And Max, you went, dude, we're podcasters. That's what we do. We've been doing it for 10 plus years now. Like, you don't need to do all that. Like, that's cool, but that's content creator stuff. We ain't that. You know, we're podcasters with a big hit of media in there. So we're going to do exactly that. We're going to talk about some PlayStation-specific peripherals, and then we're going to dive into some PC stuff, which is really unorthodox and a little out of the ordinary for us, but it's been a really good testbed. So, Max, what should we start off with? What do you think?
Well, we are a PlayStation podcast, so let's start with PlayStation stuff first.
Fantastic. So in that case, I will start with these. These are the Sony Pulse Elite headset headphones. Now, originally, these were sent to us by PlayStation Australia after a good hunk of convincing, a bit of a chatting, and they very kindly sent us to test them out. So, Max, as I mentioned, you know, I did have these grand ideas for a big video, and in turn, I have written a bit of a script. I know it's unorthodox compared to how we normally do it. Normally, it's, you know, it's free flow conversation, but you cool if I sort of hit most of this and then we kind of expand on it?
Go for it.
Beautiful. All right, let's kick it. I've had a fair few heads. Let's try that again, right? I can't even read a script properly today, Max. I'm just out of it. I've had a few sets of gaming headphones in my time. I think back to the PS3 days where I had the Turtle Beach Air Force 11s, the original Sony Pulse headset, the SteelSeries Arctis 7P, which I got for the PS5, and we've even dropped reviews for the Razer Thresher and the HyperCloud X Stinger. But does that mean I know what I'm talking about? Not in the slightest. But I know what I like. And thankfully, I really like the Sony Pulse Elite. But right off the bat, big thanks to PlayStation Australia for generously providing this headset for review. So let's get into it. This is the Sony Pulse Elite headset for the PlayStation 5 and the PC. It is a near fully plastic build, following a similar design and feel closer to the OG PS5 compared to the Slim and the Pro, with its monochrome scheme and its swoopy construction. It's the only way I can feel that I can explain it. It is one hell of a weird headset to look at, but there is clear intention here. But let me explain. Check this out. See, these are the ear cups. These ear cups, which house the planar magnetic drivers, which I'll get to shortly, are anchored here at the back. Quite different to how other headsets commonly hinge on the side, very similar to the Audio-Technica M50Xs, and then connecting up into the headband. By doing it, that's right, I lost my spot. Beautiful. By doing it this way, however, I find it alters the weight distribution and actually creates a better sound stage. With all the tech sitting here in the ear cups, other headsets often feel like they are dragging you down to the floor. So to battle this, they alter the headband to take the brunt of the weight, instead of moving the pressure from your ears to the top of your head, which does sound better. But well, Max, I don't know whether you do you remember those concerns around the streamer dent for a long while.
Max,
that thing right there. But by using its unique design, I find the Elite removes both of these concerns. By placing the hinge here at the back of the ear cup intentionally, it adds this little bit of upward pressure to the ear cups, but the headband, with its very flexible and free-moving design, I lost my spot. Helps to find the sweet balance point. Now, you may need to fiddle with it for a little bit initially to find that zone, but once you do, I find it completely comfortable. but it does have its drawbacks too. Moving your head around will cause it to move from this ideal zone. Thankfully, apart from my old ADHD fidgeting, I do tend to keep pretty stationary when I play, so I didn't really see this as an issue. Additionally, the plastic build does help by reducing the overall weight, but it does bring the question of its durability. But if you look after your tech, as you should with all your things, you are likely going to be fine. But Max, the hinge placement, right? I'm not really focused on this, but as I mentioned, it alters the sound stage for me. This small bit of clamping force by forcing the cups to go up and into my ears is giving this almost passive noise cancelling, like noise isolation. And I know this happens with any closed back headset by design, but that little touch makes quite a difference. So let's expand on that. How does it sound? Well, before we get there, we need to talk tech and get into a little bit of history. Back in August 2023, Sony announced the acquisition of Audazy to, quote, strengthen SIE's efforts to continue innovating when it comes to the audio experience of PlayStation games, end quote. Put it simply, Sony wanted Audazy's fancy planar magnetic driver tech for awesome devices like this Pulse headset. These planar magnetic drivers work by using a super thin flat diaphragm with a conductive wire pattern across the surface, stretching it tight within said frame. A series of magnets on one or both sides creates a magnetic field that pushes and pulls the entire diaphragm when an audio signal flows through these traces, right? These wires. So it is similar to that of the cone design of a regular dynamic driver, but it changes how the audio is delivered. And when it is delivered, it is clean, crisp, and a very detailed experience. The quick driver response by not having to sort of work with that cone allows a really strong response time, which gives a nice wide dynamic range with little to no distortion. Which means bullets speeding past your head aren't drowned out by some nearby explosion. But this clarity does come at a cost though. Because when I talk about explosions, the big thing there is bass. One of the things that these headphones are missing is that real big punchy bass. Saying that though, there are certainly ways you can tweak it with like the built-in equalizers, etc. But with the planar magnetic drivers, because they're a quite short and sharp sort of hits, it allows for transition between sounds really, really quickly and really easily, but it doesn't allow for that really boom sort of hanging sound. Yeah, real punchy bass, which luckily for me and that sort of the music I listen to as well, because I have tested these headphones in a number of different places, booming bass is cool, but short, like punchy bass, like for a fan of heavier metal, like you want that kind of like, you know, punchy sort of like double kick sound, that real closed off sort of, doosh, doosh, sort of rather than the big boom. But now for many people right out of the box, you might find the Pulse Elite a little bit flat, and you aren't wrong. The sound profile here is nice and balanced. So what you hear is exactly what the game intended. But if that's not quite your style, there are a series of equalizers that can be tweaked to make them exactly how you want. Additionally, there are some other concerns that you and I notice, Max, when we're playing together. One of the big problems here is the microphone. So the microphone is hidden in this little side pocket and it pops out like a little slide and sits in front of your face. All well and good. If you're playing on your PS5, you can mute this without a concern. You press the button on your controller, microphone is muted. However, there was a time where I was testing these out on the PC here where at the desk, and in order to mute the microphone, I had to push this little button that's right there. And what's also right there? The pickup for the microphone. So every time I'd go to mute it, punching that microphone, causing a bit of a problem. But in terms of the overall listening experience, as I'll sort of wrap up my thoughts on here, and then we'll get into some questions from yourself, Max. I dig them, but I dig them because I really enjoy that neutral sort of sound profile. It's the reason I use these here at the desk with the, as I mentioned, the Audio-Technica M50Xs, because they are built to be exactly as you hear it, exactly as it should sound. Now, you can go in and tweak, you can get that nice V sound, you know, where you pop the bass, pop the highs, get that real scoopy sort of sound. And that works, and it really does. But as I mentioned, for the music that I enjoy, which is, yeah, sort of that heavier metal, sort of pop-punky sort of space, that real, like, you know, short, stabby bass is much better than big boomy. The highs sound fantastic. They don't sound tinny. Because of the drivers, there's no... I don't find there to be too much bleed in the sounds as well. Like, so things sound as they should. They don't get kind of muddy and mixed up. Connection is a breeze. It does come with a little dongle, which is what I plugged into the back of my console, or here into the PC. But it does also use the PS Link feature. So for those that don't know, the PlayStation Portal has a very particular kind of Bluetooth connection. The reason being is because you are playing a streaming device, you are already going to have a good hit of delay just by the streaming process. What the PS Link does, it alters, it's a different kind of wireless connection that is designed to limit that delay as much as possible. Because normal Bluetooth, you know, just by the nature of its design, has a minor delay. This removes that so that I can play my Portal and it all syncs up nicely. Now, one of the big things that I was hoping to use these for was in bed. My partner Phoebe, she likes to go to sleep earlier than I do, and she kind of doesn't like that, you know, I'm up at the other end of the house playing games. She's like, I can't really get to sleep unless you're like in the space. So what can we do? These do such a great job. At higher volumes, there can be a bit of leak. It's not like hearing exactly what I'm hearing. It is muffled, but there can be some leak. Thankfully, during bedtime, I don't tend to have it too cranked anyway, so it's not that much of a concern. Now, the going price of these is somewhere in the $200 to $300 range. Do I think they're worth that? I would say yeah, and mostly because of the tech inside them. Like, Audazy as a company, they made your really high-end electronics, right? Like, their headphones are considered the top notch. So be able to get a similar, if not exactly the same tech in more consumer-friendly devices, because there is a similar driver, obviously on a much smaller scale, in the Pulse Explore earbuds as well. But yeah, overall, big fan. I'm really enjoying them. Obviously, I've used them in multiple different space, multiple different goes. But Max, are there any questions that are like simmering for you?
So one thing that I'll kick straight off in the bat. So as you mentioned, we have played a lot together.
Yes, we have.
With you using the headset, and one of the big sticklers is the microphone quality has come up a bit.
Oh, sorry, for context, the games that we have played, we did Ark Raiders, we've done Marathon. Yeah. I've been playing Resident Evil with them as well, Requiem. I've been playing most of my Yakuza Kiwami run with them. Pretty much anything that I've played from December through to now. So if you check out our regular weekly show, anytime I've mentioned a game, I've been playing with those headphones. Sorry, Max, just to clarify.
No, you're right. So yeah, like you can still hear it. Like I can still hear you speak and whatnot. It does sound like slightly tinny to a degree. But to circumvent your problem with the touching the pickup when you're trying to mute the mic, obviously on PlayStation, sort of problem you mentioned that you just push the mute button on the controller, but on PC, just set everything to push to talk, and then you're constantly muted until you push a button.
Nah, because then I end up. Because like, look, that is a workaround, and that is a very correct workaround. But for me, I'm playing, and I'm thinking about being in that moment. And it worked. And look, not having push to talk worked in our favor, right? Like, we're playing Ark Raiders and we did get into a scenario, a bit of a scuffle. And because I happen to have like live mic all the time, I was like, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. And we were able to calm it down. We exchanged our various apricots, whatever the hell we were looking for at the time. And it all worked out well. But yeah, I would agree with you. There is a bit of a tinniness to the microphone. I don't think it's as bad as some other headphones I've used in the past.
It's definitely not as bad as some mics I've heard.
Because like I mentioned it, you know, I kind of had to reminisce about some of the old headphones that I've used. And I thought, you know, when I went back to thinking about our COD days on the PS3 with those Turtle Beaches, and they were the big long cable bastards. And they sounded fine, but their mic was trash. Outside of that, as I mentioned, using the SteelSeries Arctis 7P, the microphone on that headset is staggeringly good, like unreasonably good. So much so that our friend Craig, he works in a call center, and when he works from home, that's the headset he uses. And no one's ever mentioned it. No one's ever noticed. No one's ever had an issue. So, like, could you do that with these? No, but that's not what they're intended for.
How's the battery life on these things? They are. I'm assuming they don't have a hot swappable battery. I assume it's plug and play.
That is correct. They are USB-C charged. And there is a little plug. Where is he? Right over here with a couple of little buttons. There's only like what? Three as a rocker and the power button on here, and they're kind of a little. I have charged them twice, and not because they were low, because I was like, oh, I should probably charge these. Now, I think on the box, which I do have next to me,
I've got the website pulled up if that's easier.
Yeah, it's
for
like
you.
What, like 15 hours or something was the
30 hours of battery life with 2 hours of battery life from a 10 minute charge.
Damn. Well, that would make sense. As I said, like I've played stacks and I've charged them at least twice, and that was just because I felt like I should charge them, not because it died mid game, which I appreciate.
For sure. You showed off the ear cups before.
Mm-hmm.
Do your ears fit inside them, or do they push up against them?
They fit inside. Mostly because I cannot stand headphones that sit over your, you know, on your ears. They have to be over. Like even these ones, I actually went and bought new replacement ones so that my ear could fit in them entirely. With that, these cups are pretty good. Like they're squishy. They're like a memory foam. We worried that this could tear. It feels like a really thin faux leather, but once you get them on, like they're not super sweaty. They're not super hot. I find they fit over my ears nicely. Except I will show you this though, because you do look like a bit of a weirdo with them on your head though. Because they do have that weird, it was a swoopy design. This is the only way I could explain it. I can't hear you, so I'm going to stop talking and let you speak.
It looks like a Stormtrooper helmet.
It does look like a storm. I did just hear that over a little bit. It does look like a weird Stormtrooper helmet, which I'm not okay. Which I'm not a problem with. Like I said, it matches the design of like the aesthetic of what they're going for with the PS5, and that's great. Like that's one thing you can sort of hope and ask for is that. It does consistently.
It does explain why you can never hit anything when we're playing Ark when you're wearing that headset. It's like,
damn, I should
fit the bill.
Walk straight into that joke. Yeah, and
sucker. you mentioned that it's got Bluetooth and it uses PlayStation Link. Can you have it connected to multiple devices at once?
Damn right you can. And this got me so excited. Not because it's a brand new feature. Like there are stacks of things that have this available. But for me, as someone who likes to listen to podcasts while I play, I tend to have like the TV on zero and then the podcast on my phone sitting next to me, right? Or earbuds or whatever, right? This has allowed me to sort of, I turn the game down, still low, but a little bit up, and then just have the Bluetooth coming from my podcasts. So I can still sit in bed, listen to my podcast, play my games, and still hear some key things within the game. Because like if there's a cutscene or whatever, I pause the podcast and I listen to what the cutscene has to say. Like I'm not, you know, some sort of freak that doesn't listen to anything the game makes. Because it negates the whole point of the headphones. But
I do hear you listen to podcasts in 2x speed.
No, I don't, because I don't have the attention span. Like if this one speed is enough. Because the second it talked, even though I speak quite quickly, if it starts going too fast, I check out. So if anything, 0.5 speed is best for me. No, that'd be horrible. Absolutely horrible. But yeah, it's a small feature. They said it's available in a lot of different places, but it was a really good quality of life one for me. And I just could sit there and listen to my music. I don't know, Spotify is with an app on the PlayStation 5 itself, but I find the controls a bit jank. So I just like to use my phone for that.
You can, I want to point out that you can use the Spotify app on the PlayStation, but use your phone to control it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it classifies as a device, so you can just... I think you did mention it, but the PlayStation Pulse Elite Wireless headset is currently sitting at around the $220 to $240 mark, depending on which retailer you hit.
My initial thought was much higher. I think it was like $250 to $300. So having it sit within that price, like, that's not horrendous. Well,
like here in Australia, Big W 239, Harvey Norman 238, JB 239. Target 229, EB Games 400. No.
But like, for the average consumer, that is a pretty reasonable price. And like I said, for pretty cool tech. Like, I know not the headphones you're using right now, because these are just your podcasting headphones. The other headphones that you use are the Astros.
I've got the Steel Series Arctis Nova Pro Wireless. And
what do they retail for you?
I bought them about 4 years ago now, I think, and they were $759.
So, like, are they going to be equivalent to that? Probably not. Because that's got, like, swappable batteries and a bunch of different nonsense.
It's got swappable batteries. It's got a breaker box. It runs dual audio from PC and PlayStation at the same time, because you can have them both plugged in. And then it's got a swappable switch in it for that stuff. But yeah, the rechargeable batteries was the big selling point for me. So when I'm playing, one's always charging, and then I can just pop one in and keep going.
Because, like, for you, you do spend, like, all your gameplay at your desk. Game
with headphones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I have played the entirety of Resident Evil 9 Requiem with no headphones on and coming just through the speakers of my monitor, because Ali's been, like, coming and hanging out.
Oh, speaking of Requiem, by the way, I know we're, like, tangenting, but, like, well, no, we're not really. The sound, like I said, the sound stays, like, the way... It's kind of unnerving, actually, because, like, when you're walking, through the care center in the early parts of the game, like, there's just noises and bumps and bings and everywhere, and you do feel them in that three-dimensional space. Like, it doesn't have, like, virtual surround sound or anything, but you do really sort of feel that, and you can kind of pinpoint where it is in 3D space just because of the clarity at which the magnetic drivers allow. Any other questions?
No, I think you covered most of it pretty well, actually.
So, like, yeah, look, my recommendations...
We did battery life, we did price.
Yeah.
Your gameplay of it, we covered the planar magnetic drivers. I think we pretty much covered everything.
Yeah, look, if you are someone that has a Portal and wants to use a wireless headset, this is the path to go. Because the Portal does have the plug-in. I personally prefer these over the earbuds, because for me, the sensory thing of earbuds, no thank you. Like, I would like to, I use AirPods when I drive because my stereo has been dead for about 18 months. I don't know how to fix it or take it out of my car. But I've always wanted to, like, get upgrade to the noise cancelling ones, but I know the second they got to seal my ear, I'm going to want to scream. So, no chance. But yeah, go check them out if you're interested. I would recommend them, even just for the tech alone, for a very consumer-friendly price, for really dope tech. I enjoyed trying something different. Speaking of something different, though, Max, this one you picked up yourself because of your love of...
Yeah.
Like, pro controllers, I guess, because, you're a SCUF user from back in the day.
Yeah, so I picked up the DualSense Edge, which is the PlayStation's Elite controller. So that comes with all of that fun stuff of, where am I looking? It comes with adjustable paddles on the back. I don't know if you can see them very clearly here. Yep. And then you've got the two front bumpers here for essentially quick changing your profiles. So when you plug it in, the PlayStation kind of boots up. It's like essentially like a little tutorial. It's like, hey, here is how you customize all your stuff. You can create and name your profiles, and then you go through and pretty much every single face button or the bumpers, the triggers, they can all be allocated different inputs. So if you want your back trigger to jump, or if you want it to be X or square, or however you want to designate your controller, you kind of have pretty much free will to do that. And then once you've got all your presets set, you flick one of the buttons at the front underneath your
thumbsticks,
and it'll pull up a short list of all your profiles, and you just quickly change the profile and you're in. So when you do pick up a DualSense Edge, you get one of these lovely hard cases, and then it comes with all of your different accessories. So it does
What's
come with a
brick at the front.
The brick at the front, this thing.
Yeah.
That is the USB lock cable. So that goes into, essentially this opens up, I think it's in locked. So essentially that opens up,
mm-hmm.
and then you stick it on the back and you put your USB-C into the back of it, and it locks it into place so it can't be, like, it can't be pulled out. So it, like, if you move too far away from the thing, the cable won't just disconnect. You also can change the, these are tiny, you can also change the, I don't know if you're going to be able to see that, there you go.
Oh, look at you, like you're some sort of makeup influencer.
You can change the back paddles to these little nubs.
Oh!
If you prefer nubs instead of paddles. I don't. I like to be able to, I like the bigger range of motion that the paddles offer comparative to these little nubs. And then you'll get four extra... I won't hold them up because they're essentially black on black, but you get four extra thumbstick toppers.
And they're the domed ones, right?
They're the domed ones, not the indented ones, which was why they stayed in that container, because I do not like the domed thumbsticks. I prefer having the little ridges to...
having pulled out my PS3 semi-recently, apart from the DualSense being a... Sorry, the DualShock 3 being a really tiny controller, the domed thumbsticks are a whole interesting experience. But they come at different lengths, right? So depending on what your
they're not the sticks themselves. They're literally just the top nubs.
But are the tubs got like the different I don't know, shaft on them? I guess like one's long, so you get kind of like a higher anchor point. I guess there is
a slightly shorter one.
Yeah,
versus a short, slightly taller one. Yes, you are correct.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
The other differences to this controller are the black accents on the face buttons and the D-pad. So they come in black and not white. The controller itself is heavier than a regular DualSense. However, due to all of the bells and whistles, it does have a smaller battery in it and therefore doesn't last as long, which is a shame.
That's why it comes with that cable.
It comes with like comes with like a 1.8 meter long cable, which is nice.
That's good.
It's not really an issue for me because, as you mentioned before, I play predominantly at my desk, which is right next to my PlayStation. So to cover, just for clarity, you mentioned that I did own a SCUF during my PlayStation 4 days. We also checked out the PlayStation back paddle.
Oh, I found mine today when I was cleaning up the studio.
Accessory that they released a couple of years back. I know that you've played with was it the Razer Wolverine or the Razer Raiju?
The Raiju is the one that I messed with. And I quite liked it because it's a really cool design, quite chunky, but not like super heavy.
There's also your Nacon Revolution 5 Pro controller. So there are a lot of Pro controllers out in the market, all fairly similar in price. So this was, the DualSense Edge that I have, it was basically the launch edition. I think it has been kind of refined a little bit since then.
I think there's a V2 and it also comes in black now.
It does come in black now. It didn't at the time. Otherwise I would totally have a black one. But these are currently sitting at around the $310 to $350 mark. So they are kind of your premium way to go. It's what essentially the cost of three DualSense controllers currently. I don't use mine as much as I used to. Obviously I mainly used it to play first person shooter games, so I can have the ability to jump and use melee attacks without having to move my thumbs off any of my joysticks, so I could aim at all times and, you know, not lose that freedom of motion type thing.
A game that I mentioned testing the Pulse Elites with, have you tinkered with this with Marathon?
Not yet. Not yet. Mainly because I haven't really tinkered with Marathon too much.
Yeah. But like, is that the style of game that you would
mostly use it for? Generally, I use it for shooters.
Yeah.
So because it also has adjustable trigger locks. So you don't have to, you can kind of remove that full press and just have it shorter so you can shoot a little bit quicker. It also has, you can adjust the stick sensitivity and the vibration intensity of the controller as well. So you, it does give you a lot more control over how your controller will play. Because, yeah, it gives you a lot more. So what I'm looking for, well, I mean, control works well. Yeah. But.
And to correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the advantages of this controller is that the thumbsticks are replaceable, right?
No, not quite.
Because you can like pull one out and get a new one if you needed to. Yeah?
I was looking at that before. I don't think this is the controller that does that.
Oh, whoops.
The sticks definitely come out, yeah. But I don't think the whole front end rips out.
Okay.
At least not in this model.
Okay, that might be part of the V2, I guess, yeah. Because I'm not someone that uses like pro controllers, mostly because I don't have the skill or the desire to really push into that pro space. So for yourself, as you mentioned, it's all swappable. What is the extent that you mess with it?
I haven't physically, I swapped nothing. I left.
Oh, even from a button layout as well, configuration.
So essentially button configuration, I only have one profile set up for it, and that is my first-person shooter, first-person shooter profile, and it literally just puts the left back paddle to X or whatever the jump button is in that designated game, and the right one is always melee attack.
Mm.
So it's just jump and punch, essentially. I tend to not go any further than that. I don't find it super necessary. I guess in driving games, it would be cool because you can use the back paddles to shift up and shift down if you were that way inclined. Personally, I don't play a ton of racing car games. And when I do, I tend to play automatic because I don't know how cars work, man. I drive a manual car, but I will forget to change gears if I'm racing because I'm just too focused on like
not hitting crashing. Things. Yeah. The buttons themselves, are they just the same sort of membrane?
They're not that clicky.
Tactile or whatever. Yeah,
they're just the same. They feel exactly like a DualSense controller.
See, that in itself is a bummer. Like one of the big things I loved about the Razer Raiju was that it had those tactile mechanical buttons. So you get that real... Like not quite like a keyboard, which we're going to talk about keyboard shortly, but it's
definitely not that.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
The only difference to the buttons is the black accent on them,
which is also quite pretty.
Which looks great, but from a gameplay and user case, it makes no difference.
So, like, I have a Xbox Elite 2. Was kindly gifted to me by my friend Ethan over at Tag Mods. He had like a couple. He's like, hey, here, check this out. I love it. I think it's really good. It's nice and heavy and like it feels like you're using a good bit of kit. I don't add any paddles. I don't swap it out. I just love it because it feels like a hefty controller. You did mention that the DualSense Edge is heavier. Like, does it feel like that, like a good hefty metal sort of?
Yeah? Which is one of the reasons why I like it. It does feel like a... I wouldn't say it's not quite twice as heavy, but it is a noticeable difference of weight than holding a standard DualSense controller.
Awesome. I guess it's just the
and the braided cable is incredible. I've had three standard USB-C cables break on me from PlayStation controllers. The braided cable has lasted forever so far. And the fact that it's longer is also a weird
1.8 meters is beautiful. That's quite an extensive. And one thing I forgot to mention, speaking about charging, right? With the headphone, it's got this thing, a little mount. Oh, so nice. So there's a little just very similar to the plug at the bottom of the DualSense. You sit it on there. And when I can see what the fuck I'm doing, there we go. Beautiful, done. So for someone like yourself, Max, you could have this sit on the edge of your desk and it will charge because there's a little cable plug in there. Fantastic. And be pretty cool if you could mount like the DualSense onto that as well. Have that sit on your desk as like a little stand to kind of sit on it.
Yeah.
Does the case have a charging plug in the back?
No.
Ah, so that's the one advantage of the Series 2 is that you can charge it in the case, which is really cool.
Oh, no. I lie. If I do this, hang on.
Ooh, that's interesting. So rather than, okay, so with
it's
the...
A, it's a val- for those who are flat. Listening to audio and miss it, it's a bum flap, but it has just Velcro.
Yeah.
It's just a Velcro flap.
Yeah, so with the Series 2, like you plug the cable directly into the case and it like through wireless, it kind of charges itself in there. Now, obviously for your specific use case, Max, the Edge is a really strong piece of kit, but... Yeah. Is it something that you could easily recommend to people?
Not at its price point. The price point is fairly steep, and most of those pro controllers are, and generally they are targeting a specific market. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think I paid... I mean, this was years ago now. I think I paid like $150 for my SCUF, mm-hmm. which was very basic. I've used Xbox's Elite controller, and I prefer the feel of PlayStation's. I only wish, and I've said this multiple times, especially in our show, I wish we had the controller maker that Microsoft has.
Oh, the Design Labs or whatever.
I wish PlayStation had like a Design Lab style thing where you can go in and fully kit out your controller, and I think that would make it more worth the price point of nearly $350.
Yeah,
because like I said, it's literally the cost of three DualSense controllers.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the use case of three separate controllers. It is a very niche. And like I said, a lot of the pro controllers are very niche, and will only and they're not for just the casual quote unquote gamer.
What fantastic! All right, beautiful. Well, look, that is a wrap on our PlayStation specific section. Thank you for everyone to check that out. So this is where we're going to step into something a little bit different. So my friend Fid McCawson over at Original Geek, he's working with a company called Electronic Rebellion. They're a sort of semi-new PC accessories company here in Australia. And their entire business model or their approach is sort of entry-level prices, but you get slightly better things for it. You know what I mean? That's kind of like fancy entry-level, right? So the idea of this comes from my son, who is joining me right now. There he is. So for his 9th birthday, we organized a PC for him, right? So it came with all the bits and pieces. And Fid was like, hey, he is the perfect individual to test out these new bits of product, right? Because they're consumer friendly, they're entry level, but they add a little bit of pro stuff to really kind of like make it feel a bit better. So there are three things we checked out, and we're going to take a look at each of them. Now, so James has joined me because I have spent a bit of time with them, but once I was done, James is like, can I work with them now? So I immediately handed them over to him, and he's been spending a lot of time with them as well. And I'd very love to hear what he has to say. So we'll kick things off with the keyboard. So this is the box. I don't actually have the keyboard with me because it's currently plugged into... No, don't worry about it, bub. It's currently plugged into his computer at the other end of the house. It is called the Gallatin Pro. Its selling point here is they've considered themselves the flagship killer. I'll just read it straight from the piece of paper. The keyboard brings enthusiast level custom keyboard features into a budget mainstream price. This is going to be the centerpiece of your setup. So it is a 96% compact keyboard. So it pretty much has everything on there, which I love, but it's a little bit tiny. It's just a little bit smushy. It doesn't have a lot of those like, you know, that section above the directional buttons, you know, like the pig up and pig down and ins and dill and whatever. It is built on a gasket mount design with sound dampening. It has these features up here. It has a LCD screen and a little media knob, I guess. It can connect in three different ways, by USB-C, by Bluetooth 3 or Bluetooth 5, and 2.4G wireless. The switches are entirely hot swappable. And this particular one, they have called it the, what'd they call it? Has it been... Mint Mambo switches. So I don't know what they would be in other circumstances, but like they're thunky. You get that good thunk, but they don't have that click, and they're like mechanical without that clicky, you know, that Razer signature clicky ass sound.
Look, I love.
Yeah. This thunk is way nicer personally. All right, bud. No, don't worry about it. All right. How have you found the keyboard? Come, get it right up in the mic. How have you found the keyboard?
Good.
Give me more than that. What's good about it?
I like the sound.
The sound's good? Yeah?
I like that you can turn the volume on it too.
Well, that's a big thing. So one of the things that caught my attention about it was the screen with the dial. My immediate thought was like, I could use this as a way to route, say, like your volume or my volume here in OBS when we're recording. Instead, it is essentially just a volume rocker. Like, that's the best you're going to get out of it. And even then, the LCD screen next to it, I was hoping that maybe I could sort of put notifications or really customize it in a cool way. Not really. It's date, time, a little GIF. It's kind of it. Like, it's not really fully customizable in the way I thought it would be. But yeah, there's a bunch of different profiles on there for like lighting, rigs, etc. So for you, because you like your RGB, right? So what's the RGB that you've got on there at the moment? Is it just you're flashing all the lights all the time?
Like when I click it, yeah, it becomes booms aside.
Oh, you like the wave one. So he likes the one where you click it and it kind of plumes out.
Ripples.
The ripple, thank you. Ripple. Where I made it purple, as I do with all my things, and I actually quite like that ripple one as well. So the keyboard I'm currently using here at the desk, I forget what it is the Logitech G815. It has these like flat laptop sort of keys. Oh, what's yours?
I have the Logitech G815 as well.
Hey, he has the exact same one as me.
And I have some broken RGBs.
I've got two that are out, both the O and the zero.
mine is the G5, the D, the T, the M, the apostrophe, left, right, and the skip forward.
Yeah. So... Well, you'll know this keyboard, right? Because it's, yeah, very thin profile keys, mm-hmm. where the ones here in the Gallatin Pro, they're taller, they're a bit smaller space. So it did take me a little while to adapt to using the keyboard, but I am bummed that it is his keyboard and that it has to return to him, because I love it and I kind of want my own one, but... I'll have to have a look at the website and see what other ones are there. But I really dig it. Now, Max, do you have any questions for either myself or James about this keyboard?
No, because
you're more PC based than I am.
I am, but for the most part, I think you covered everything. Like, you mentioned that everything's hot swappable. You mentioned the price point, and they do have that, you know, entry level for like that mid tier hardware, which is great. James mentioned that it's got RGB functions. You mentioned all the rocker wheels and stuff like that.
Like, its durability is pretty solid as well. Like, it is, like, there's a, if you go to the Electronic Rebellion website, electronicrebellion.com.
Is it wired or wireless?
It's wireless. It's wireless, and it has wired capabilities. But what makes this really impressive is that it's got multiple different ways to connect, which is something that most, you know, cheaper keyboards don't. It's either wireless, it's either like 2.4G, or it's cable, or it's Bluetooth and it's cable. Here it has three different variants. So if you really wanted to, you could just kind of have it use like your iPad and your keyboard or whatever. It just comes with a little dongle. Just sits nicely in the side. But yeah, the durability is really solid. Sorry, bud, hit you in the face. Like, it's like this multi-layered kind of design. It's almost like it's sitting in this external housing. So unlike our keyboards, Max, which is just kind of like, you know, metal and keys. Like, there's a shape thing, like a holder around it, like a thing that it, a well yep. that it sits in. I don't know how to explain it, but I dig it. I love it. Big fan of that one. The other thing that we were sent, where's the box? Right down here. This is, you want to hold that one for me?
Yeah.
This is the Trident Pro. It is what's considered the workhorse. A wireless mouse for under $40 is usually battery powered and heavy. The Trident Pro disrupts this by offering rechargeable specs and a decent sensor for the price of a lunch. So under $40, there are some things to it that are great and some things to it that I'm not the biggest fan of. The big thing is, so I'm going to go off the sheet because I don't know how these work with mice. It uses a PAW3104 sensor, which has up to 8,000 DPI. While not a top tier esports sensor like the other model, which is their 3395, it's perfectly adequate for 90% of gamers and casual shooters. So for someone like James, it's perfect. For even like me, it's pretty perfect. It comes in at 91 grams, so it sits in what's considered that mid-weight category. Very similar to the keyboard, it does have 3 points of connectivity, 2.4G, Bluetooth, and wired, which is quite rare. It has a rechargeable 700 milliamp battery, so it is quite eco-friendly, and it doesn't use any additional batteries, which is something that can sort of add to that additional weight. The button layout's pretty standard. It is quite an ambidextrous design with the only additional... there are some additional buttons on the side, only on one side, I believe. Yep, so it's not ambidextrous because there's all the buttons on the left side, as well as two buttons on the middle. All right, James, what's your thoughts on the mice?
I love the lights.
You love the lights as well? So it's also got RGB around the sides as well as on the click wheel. Which I said for James.
Wait, normally do not all of the mouses like light, like their light on the scroller means like it's like battery. Do all of them do it?
Yeah, no, not all of them. Like my mouse, it doesn't have any, but I bought it that
mine
way.
Does.
So, you got the Razer. So the mouse that I'm currently using is the G502X from Logitech. Now, the reason I like this one is it does have, you know, a couple of different buttons on the side. It's got a button that really just kind of drops the DPI to like 800.
And there's lights right there.
And that's just to tell me what profile I'm using.
That's the sniper mode, mate.
That's exactly why I like that button. For like when we're playing stuff and I need to like really tight, finicky sort of things. How do you find the mouse? Do you think, is it too light? Is it too heavy? Is it too good?
I think it's good weight.
Because I play a lot more high sensitivity than he does. So for him having a lighter mouse that he can pick up and move, I can, you know, watching him firsthand, pun intended.
Oh, I normally do this. So like I normally don't do that. I normally lift it up. So
you're a lift and move kind of mouse user. Mm. Yeah.
Does the scroll wheel have free scroll, or is it that clicky, like every time you move it,
only the clicky, where say this mouse's example, this little button, I can click and it just freewheels forever. So it does not have that in there. There we go. I'm dicking about with the mouse and I'm pressing buttons and I'm moving cameras around.
Well done.
So the advantage of this one is it does have a little cap at the back, which allows you to add a weight to increase to increase the weight of the mouse. Because like for me, I need a heavier mouse. What else have we got on there? Yeah, so the big selling point on this one is value to performance. It's under $40. Like I paid like $200 for that mouse. Now you've got a Razer mouse in your hand there, which to be arse expensive.
It actually wasn't.
Oh, that's good.
So I originally had a Razer Ouroboros,
Aurora Borealis.
Yeah, which was their ambidextrous mouse. I've had it for 14 years, and it died on me last week. It was super depressing, super sad. So I was on the hunt for a new mouse, and I found this, which is the Basilisk 35K, and I got it on sale for $98 down from $170.
Well, that's pretty good.
Which was a bargain. Yeah. So essentially, it is the Razer version of your Logitech mouse.
Yeah.
So it has that that thumb slide form factor with the sniper button.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that it does have that I like that it's gonna break because I use it so often is it has the shifting wheel, so it'll free scroll or it'll click. But if I flick it fast enough, it changes from clicking to free scroll.
Cool. That is cool.
And then I can feel the mechanics in it when I stop it to go back. It'll go back into click mode. And I just sit there and just fucking flick it.
I do that too. I'll click the button. I'll do the big free spin. And then I'll lock
it. I don't have to flick the button. I can just flick it fast and I'll just kick in the gear.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's going to... It's my little stim while I'm sitting at my desk. It's going to break.
There is a button on there that does allow you to change your DPI, because one of the things that I like this mouse for here on the just to the left of the left clicker, like you can quickly toggle between profiles depending on whatever game you're playing.
What DPI is the mouse that James uses?
This one.
Does it go up to, what is it, 8,000?
8,000 is its max. Yeah. But I think, he has on a quite a low sensitivity because he's still working out that finesse. Where I think I play on this at around 3,600, 4,000, somewhere around there. So, like, even in the mouse I have, like, with the Trident, I am never going to push it to the 8,000. Like, I don't know who needs it that high. Like, are you insane?
I play at 6,400.
Holy shit. That's like the littlest of movement. You're like, pew, pew,
pew, pew. Yeah, no, it's great.
Anything else, Ben, about the mouse?
And you said it was wired and wireless, and it was a charged battery, you don't have to use like double A's.
Yep, no double A's. Oh, it is completely recharged. It's only 700 milliamps, so it's not huge. But then again, it's a mouse, right? Like they don't need big honking batteries because they only do so much.
The scroller feels smooth. The scroller.
Yeah, he loves the scroller, which is great. Any other parts about it that you like?
Does it come with... I don't know if James will know the answer to this.
Yeah.
But does it come with... obviously, like Logitech mices, Razer mice, they all come with like a software package where you can kind of dick around and modify your RGBs or your what all your side buttons do. Does it come with a piece of software to do all that stuff, or is it kind of... bare bones?
They do. So James hasn't really messed with this. I've kind of did it for him. So there is one for each of the three bits of tech that we're talking about today. So the keyboard, the mouse, and the headset. Downside is they all have their own individual piece of software for some reason. And even then, bare bones.
Yeah.
Like it's just like for the keyboard, it's just...
But there's no like unified...
No.
Damn. Like, which is that's a shame.
Very, very frustrating. But like it's pretty straightforward. It's just going for RGB
for its entry level price point, it's understandable. I guess.
Oh, exactly. You're not going to go in and really tinker it too hard in the way you would even this Logitech keyboard that we have, because it's got like the function buttons on the side and whatnot.
It's gonna see half of my face.
Yeah, it's because you're kind of sitting off the thing. But that's all right. Well, we only have a little bit more to go, but we're going to dive into the last piece of kit. We talked about headphones before, so we're going to finish with headphones. This is the put it over here. That is the Red Dragon Zeus Pro. It is the virtual 7.1 surround sound wireless gaming headset. Let's read off a bit of paper. The Zeus Pro is the wireless evolution of Red Dragon's most popular wired headset, and it targets comfort and cross-platform versatility. It does have an RRP. You're kind of off camera. It does have an RRP of $118. I won't put that one back down there, but people can see your face. All right. Yeah. So here are some of the tech. It has 53 millimeter drivers, so big boys. So they're larger than your standards, especially in like lower budget sort of headsets. It has 2.4 gigahertz wireless connection with low latency, which is crucial for couch gaming or clean desk aesthetic. Build quality, it uses a metal frame with memory foam ear cups to avoid that cheap plastic feel. It works on PC, PS4, PS5 via the dongle, and then can be wired into your phone or your Xbox. So a couple things. It does have a detachable microphone, which does sit in front of your face, kind of like the aeroplane-y sort of one. I don't know how to explain them. they are a smaller design, so they fit kind of smaller heads. So for
like
my, like you, which is lucky. For myself, I had to have it at its biggest for it to sit somewhat comfortably. And even then, it was kind of not as comfortable as even, you know, these or even the Pulse. But for James, like they fit perfectly on his little noggin. Its big selling point is its virtual 7.1 surround sound. Sounds great on paper. In delivery, all they do is essentially add reverb and makes everything sound aggressively worse. Without the virtual surround sound, these headphones are ripper for the price. They actually sound really, really good. I like them a lot. I just, the second you hit the, there's a 7.1 button on the headset, you hit that beep, and it just sounds like absolute trash, personally.
Shame.
Because, yeah, I know it's very difficult to mimic surround sound in like a two-driver headset because, you know, you're trying to replicate seven speakers in two. But the idea of just adding reverb is not... I'm very simplifying what they do, but that's kind of what it just sounds like you're doing it in a hall. Like... watching a YouTube video, even just a podcast, it just makes the soundscape all echoey and wide. So not the best use for me. Now, I think the headset's probably the one that you've spent the least time with because we have another Logitech one that I bought you for Christmas that you use more.
No, my birthday.
Your birthday, thank you. In terms of its like design, like, yeah, the design's great. Like it's metal frame. The ear cups are nice. They're pretty comfortable for you, right? Yeah. There is some buttons on the headset that kind of do a little bit here and there, but the points. No, that's kind of all the beats. For what it is, at $118, or you know, at the time that we originally got these, they're on sale for under $100, which is fantastic. They're pretty good for like a kid. Like even all three of these items, right? The whole idea was this is, you know, the what'd they call it? There's a particular thing here. Nah, I forget it. So yeah, so the whole idea is, yeah, they want the feel of like enthusiast level tech in a very pro consumer entry level price. So for someone like James, he gets the benefit of RGB and multiple ways to connect. So he can connect it to his iPad or his computer. He can swap, you know, the devices through everything. Really quite affordable price.
And that was, who were they through again, sorry?
Electronic Rebellion is the name of that company. So big thank you to them. James and I did record this big unboxing video. They're currently being edited because I just wasn't getting them done. I did outsource a friend of a friend to do them, and they're currently in the works. A lot of tech to mess with over the break. Now, James, before I let you run off and head back upstairs, because we'll be finishing off in a second, what's your overall thoughts on the keyboard, the mouse, the headset?
Awesome.
Awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to elaborate on? Like, why are they so awesome? You wanted to come be part of the chat. Like, you've got to explain why it's good.
You know what to say.
Yeah, that does happen. That's when you're like, hey, can I come be part of this? I'm like, you sure can, but be ready to talk. But yeah, like the keyboard's fantastic. That's probably the biggest selling point out of the three of these for me is that keyboard. It's the switches that I like.
My favorite one is the keyboard.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it's the color as well. I like the sort of the, not quite the teal that I'm colorblind to, but it is like a really blue-greeny, minty sort of green.
Mostly green, though.
It is mostly green. So it's not
like
quite
a
in...
very, like, you know, like baby blue.
More like equivalent of a baby green.
Baby green.
Yeah, I get you. Like a pastely sort of green. All the other colors really, the other devices fit that real gamery black and red and RGB. Beautiful. Well, thank you, bud. I appreciate you helping out. Mm. So big thank you to Team Electronic Rebellion for letting us mess with that. All right, you head on off.
Bye-bye.
I'll be up there shortly. But there you go, Max. Any final questions about the Electronic Rebellion kit?
That was their Red Dragon line. Yeah,
that is correct. So they do have a couple of different brands under the overall Electronic Rebellion, but this is Red Dragon specifically.
All right, cool.
Did you do a quick website check?
Yeah, no. I have seen them before. Mm. I want a big mouse pad.
Mm.
I want a big honker of a pad.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. And I think I found that sleep token one that's like $90 for a mouse pad just because it's got sleep token on it. Am I that dumb?
Yes.
Yes, I am. But anyway, look, something a little bit different for all those playing at home and been following us for a while. We haven't really messed with any bits of tech. Most has been doing the game side for a while. So I really appreciate both PlayStation Australia and Electronic Rebellion for giving us the opportunity to stretch our legs a little bit and dive into a different part of the gaming space. And yourself, Max, you went out and you bought the DualSense Edge yourself back in the early days. And it's a thorough review. Like, I thought these were thorough reviews, right? I'm like, it's been like 2.5 months. This is going to be some thorough review. You bought that controller like a year ago.
Longer. I think I was still in my old house when I had it.
Yeah.
I think I've had it since they came out. When did it come out? Let's have a look. It was a hot minute ago.
Mm.
They came out back in 2023. So yeah, probably I've probably had it for about two, three years.
Yeah. So like, yeah, you've put it through its absolute paces. Pardon me.
Yeah, I think it's done 3 Call of Duties, a couple seasons of Fortnite,
a lot of Destiny,
So much listening.
Well, let's wrap this up there. As I said, big thank you to both those lovely parties for allowing us to spend some time with some cool bits of tech. If you want to hear more about the gaming side of things, we have to say, be sure to come check out our weekly show. It is called For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation Podcast. It is, you know, one of the only PlayStation podcasts made in Australia, and it's all looking talking about PlayStation and the world of PlayStation through an Australian lens, which just means a bit more swearing. It's kind of the only, pretty much the only difference, really. But until then, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was the tech we've been messing with.